When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Philly Pod, your favorite Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Should be your favorite Philadelphia sports podcast. I'm the co-host, Stephen Conrad Jr., hosting today because the host is not able to gather himself. This is what happens. He may be washed. Vic may be washed, guys. His career may be deteriorating, just like James Harden. It's all right.
Jesus Christ.
The young quarterback here, the young host in the weights. I've been waiting for this moment.
No. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the newest episode of the Philly Pod. I guess before we even get into it, we should apologize because I've had a number of people reach out to me since the draft wondering where the new one is and things like that. And all I have to say is blame Steven because he decided to graduate college this week. So he had to do all that and do finals and get his shit together. So that's his fault. So y'all can go and complain to him.
My shit's been together.
Yeah, well, it wasn't this week. So I had to hold people over on IG and TikTok with breakdowns and shit like that until you were available to do this podcast. So thanks for making yourself available a week later.
I've been available, man. I'll always make time.
This man hit me up yesterday like I'm running errands. I'm like, who's running errands on a... Oh no, what the fuck day was it? Tuesday, Wednesday.
Happens, man.
Yeah. But I get it. You're graduating this Saturday. Congrats. The long road has finally culminated into this degree. How's it feel?
I'm not finished.
How's it feel to be a man? Stepping through the four walls of college now into the real world. It's not fun. It's not fun at all.
I'm actually looking very much so towards it, if we're being honest. I'm tired of being in the walls of school and
in the walls.
Yeah.
School walls. Yeah. Appreciate y'all for tuning into this episode. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to rate this show 5 stars. Leave those reviews. Each and every one does help with the exposure of the show. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, TikTok at the Philly Pod. Do the same for my co-host, Steven at Steven Conrad Jr. That's real Stephen Conrad Jr. on Instagram. Some things have happened since the last time we did the show. The draft happened. Some trades happened. We got a lot of shit to dive into. But before we do that, shout out to the sponsor, SeatGeek. Be sure to go over there. Sign up for SeatGeek for whatever events you are going to, whether it be Phillies, hopefully not, because they suck. I was at one last week. It was not a good time. Was glad to get there, but was not a good time. Sixers, they probably got 2 games left before they're out of here. Eagles games next year. Be sure to sign up with promo code THEPHILLYPOD. Get $20 off your first purchase. Your best night ever is waiting. Says SeatGeek. We don't know that, but yeah, if you want to put that model to the test, you go right ahead and sign up for SeatGeek. Promo code THEPHILLYPOD gets you $20 off your first purchase. The NFL draft has come and went, and it might have been the most exciting draft of my lifetime, of my 28 years of life. I can't remember a draft I've been more excited for as the draft class is concerned. So first things first, Steven, I guess we have to talk about before we even get into the trade and the new look offense and things like that. The first pick the Eagles made moving ahead of Baltimore to go ahead and get Georgia defensive tackle Jordan Davis. Before I even give you my reaction on how I felt when this had happened, what was your initial feelings about moving up? What was your initial feelings about getting Jordan Davis? Was this a guy you wanted? Were you looking at somebody else? How did you feel about the 13th overall selection in the form of Jordan Davis?
Well, you know me, I've been preaching the last however many episodes, get, you know, the best player available, blah, blah, blah. He was clearly that. Well,
nah, I don't know about
people
clearly.
People want to argue.
I don't know about clearly. I don't know.
But you got to, it comes down to like what the team values, you know, their positional hierarchy, if you want to put it that way. That's probably not a good word, but you know what I'm saying. The Eagles value trenches more than those type of positions. Those, I guess, do we want to call safety a premium position? The Eagles treat it like that.
Yes, it is. It is a premium. You mean a luxury or is it a premium?
Or luxury. I guess that's
the Eagles treat it like a luxury. Yes, but it is very much a premium position in my opinion. But we'll get into it. We'll get into all
I'm not here to break down like Jordan Davis's tape or anything like that. Like, I'm not going to tell you.
We got
like,
the whole offseason for that.
Yeah, but what I'm here to tell you, and this is what I told Vic when we first kind of, you know, broke this down together. I like it because I feel like the Eagles never, at least in my lifetime, they never go after that guy who could be like the freak athlete, because that's what he is. There is nobody in this draft class or the last couple of draft classes, for that matter, that come anywhere close to his size and athleticism. The combination of those two things put together, like he's... The guy was clearly made in a science lab, you know, like you got the NBA, you look at the Greek freak, Jordan Davis might just be the Greek freak of the NBA. Obviously, he's not Greek, but you know what I'm saying? Like he's,
like he's not even Greek.
No, that like, so, I, you know, and as we know, Fletcher Cox is getting up there in age. You know, Javon Hargrave will probably slide into, in the coming years, I would imagine, slide into Fletcher Cox's role. But then again,
well, Hargrave's in the last year of his contract, which is probably another reason why he did this. So he's a free agent. So basically, Hargrave and Cox are free agents after this year, which is a big reason why they, you know, made this move. We got Milton Williams too, who transitioned between edge and interior lineman.
Yep.
Last year. But to your point, yeah, freak athlete, 6'6", 341 pounds, 33-inch arms, and 6'8" wingspan. He demands obviously double teams on the field. Like his saying is, if there's two on me, then somebody's free. And I like to think that's true to form, because this man he's going to command two people, or he's going to get through. The two knocks on this, well, I have a knock, and then there's a general consensus knock, is that his every down consistency is a concern. He only played like, what was it, less than 50% of the snaps last year. But I think part of that is because Georgia was beating people up so bad that, you know, Jordan Davis didn't have to be out there. But his every down availability is a concern at this point, you know, this early in his career. I think he'll
that defense was also
that.
Absolutely loaded.
Yeah,
like there's so many players who
he had no need to play every snap in that Georgia defense. So obviously that was a thing. And my one knock personally, and it's not even really a knock because it's just me nitpicking. But they did give up like a lot of picks to move up two spots: 15, 124, 162, and 166, all to move up just two picks. But I know
Baltimore clearly wanted him.
Yeah, exactly. But two fifth rounders, obviously they're not going to have the impact that Jordan Davis will. He'll be a day one starter. But yeah, that just proves you once he fell to Baltimore.
You think Davis is a day one starter?
Well, not starter. He'll be in the rotation. He'll make a day one impact. I should have said he'll be a day one contributor. He'll definitely be in the rotation.
He wasn't drafted for that reason though.
He was drafted to be. The thing is that I'm not sure how effective Jordan Davis is in the modern NFL on a lot of defenses. But the Eagles defense is the one where he does fit in how the Eagles, you know, run their team and run the defense. I think he fits perfectly for what the Eagles do. I don't know if he would fit, say, on you know, another team that doesn't run as much interior pressure. But I think Jordan Davis fits that run-stopping defense that the Eagles have implemented over the last few years or so. Just when I saw all those picks, I was like, damn, but that shows you how much they believe in Jordan Davis. And he was very much going to Baltimore.
I told you this, too, by the way. Not about Jordan Davis, but... you knew this too. This isn't me saying I was right or whatever, but like, you know, the Howie and the Eagles, when they like a guy, that's what they do. They did it with Devontae Smith last year. They did it with Carson Wentz. How long has that been? It's been like 6 years.
2016, so 6 years now. Yep.
Wow.
Third team in 2 years for Carson. Yeah. So when he turned into AJ Brown, which we'll get into in a second. But me personally, my initial reaction was it was expected. But I was praying to the gods for Kyle Hamilton. Like, he was the guy, once I heard that he was starting to slip, this guy was number one on a lot of people's boards at some point throughout the draft process. And Kyle Hamilton is that safety where the Eagles have a very glaring hole at right now. And just his skill set is elite, and I think he's going to be a day one playmaker. And I wanted him, and I heard that the Eagles were, like, you know, they had the interest, they were eyeing him up. So I believe that if Jordan Davis was taken before that pick, then the Eagles might have taken Kyle Hamilton, but he was who I had wanted. But I'm not mad about the Jordan Davis pick for obvious reasons that I already outlined. It's just that Hamilton was the guy I was kind of praying for. I think they do need something at safety. I'm not as high on Marcus.
Unfortunately, the reality is, like, you know, teams, this isn't just Eagles specific. Teams are just not going to address every single hole in one draft.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. You made a good point to me when we were talking the other day, obviously off the off air or off the record, rather, about how the Eagles go ahead and explain your philosophy, because it was actually a good one on how the Eagles can address every single hole in the draft.
And again, it's not Eagles specific. Every team still has holes. Like, we can run down them, but I'm an Eagles fan. This is an Eagles podcast. We're not going to do it. But, like, there's still free agency, and I see you guys suggesting some of these corners that we should sign. I'd probably agree with you with some of the names that you guys have mentioned. I'm sure we'll dive into them. There's trades. Like, I can't stress free agency and trades enough. Like, obviously, the way you want to build the core and the foundation of the team is through the draft. And it kind of, like, let's be honest, it looks like they're doing that. Jalen Hurts drafted, Miles Sanders drafted, Dallas Goedert drafted, Devontae Smith drafted, Jordan Davis drafted. Who am I missing? Jordan Mailata. Mm-hmm.
Lane was drafted.
Landon Dickerson.
Yep.
We hope Cam Jurgens can be... What a name.
I don't even think that's how you pronounce it. I think it's like Jurgens or something.
But whatever, we'll get into that pick. We hope he turns out to be the center of the future. Mm-hmm. You know, once Jason Kelsey's gone on. I think I might be missing somebody, but there's a few other foundation pieces. But those guys were all drafted. All of them were drafted. But Dallas, what I'm saying is, like, you drafted. Can, yep, you can fill these holes, you know, the other holes on the team through trades, through free agency. Like, a lot of people put all their eggs in one basket, just kind of hoping, like, we're going to leave this draft. And obviously the goal would be to address every single hole. But in my opinion, what's more important than addressing every single hole in the team is just adding the absolute best players you can possibly add to your team. And I feel like the Eagles did that.
Yeah, they did. Oh, they did a very good job of addressing multiple holes. So to come away with no secondary help is the lackluster part of it. But then you look at everything else they did, and you can't help but feel good about where the team is headed. Which brings
prime example. I don't want to cut you off, but so you had mentioned Kyle Hamilton. That was your guy. You had your eyes on. Mm-hmm. For me, it was Jameson Williams. I really.
Oh yeah, I mean, clearly needed. I'm saying at the time of the pick, it was Kyle Hamilton. No, Jameson, I was hoping for up until he was picked.
Yeah, no, I would understand if you would want Kyle Hamilton more than him. But, like, I remember the ongoing conversation here in Philadelphia was like, all right, the Eagles need to stop drafting wide receivers, go and trade and sign for one. And guess what? On draft day, they traded for one. They added A.J. Brown, who quite honestly might have been the best player acquired in the first round of that draft.
Exactly. Brings us to the other fucking blockbuster. When I say blockbuster deal that nobody saw coming, I never saw that coming. I didn't see any reporters. Like, I didn't hear it rumored. Obviously, when they were working out, people were like saying, oh, like, they're recruiting or whatever. But I didn't hear any rumors about trade talks, potential extensions. Like, I heard nothing. No reporters. I didn't see, hear anything about this happening. When you see the alert from Rappaport saying sources, the Eagles are trading for Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown. Tennessee gets the number 18 pick and more. I remember FaceTiming you immediately, and I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, this man was having a panic.
Like, I could not believe what I was seeing, because Debo was the rumor for a while. Debo Samuel, will the Eagles do it? We broke the whole scenario down on the last show about why we think or don't think why the Eagles wouldn't make a move for a prolific wide receiver like that. And I'm still stunned that they not only traded for the guy and gave him this guaranteed contract at $25 million a year, 4 years, $100 million. Like, to go ahead and get a guy like A.J. Brown, I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around it, because I watched the tape of Devontae Smith getting open at times twice on the same play. And then you combine that with a guy who has the catch radius and the route running nuance that A.J. Brown has, and it's just, the sky's the limit for this offense as long as Jalen Hurts takes that next step that we all hope he takes. Your initial just mindset of when you saw this trade happening, the fact that the Eagles acquired a superstar receiver in A.J. Brown, and he is now the fourth highest paid in the league after this extension. What was your mindset about the whole thing?
Just, I couldn't believe it. Like,
I still can't believe it.
I had a buddy over. We were watching the draft, and I wasn't even on my phone because I like to enjoy.
Listeners know who
live.
Jay Brad is at this point. Listeners know who Jay Brad is. You said a buddy.
Well, yeah, right.
Listeners know who Jay Brad is at this.
He
point.
Was the man behind the glass at one point, but
oh yeah, that yeah. We hope to get him back.
I like to stay off social media when stuff's like going down. I like to enjoy it live. So I just wasn't on my phone.
Must be nice, because I have to write and cover these things as they happen. So I was like, couldn't even focus enough to write and be like, yo, the fuck.
Well, you know, it was going to be on the television. It was going to be there. And I like everybody's like, oh, man, I got Shams notifications on. I got Rappaport's. Like, I don't have any of that turned on because I'm going to get it. Like, it's just the way this world works. You're going to get the news sent to you. And that's what happened. Justin was in the other room screaming. He's like, dude, we just got A.J. Brown. I'm like, stop, you're lying. Like, because you know how he is. I cannot believe it,
bro. Yeah, because you know J-Brad's big on making jokes.
I see you're calling me. I'm like, well, here we go. Time to celebrate. I still can't believe it, honestly.
Dude, it is wild. Only giving up pick 18 and pick 101 to go ahead and get A.J. Brown. And, of course, the extension, like I mentioned, 4 years, $100 million, $57 million guaranteed. They certainly had a need for receiver. That's why we were eyeing up Jameson Williams. You spoke highly of Treylon Burks, who the Titans then drafted to replace A.J. Brown. That's who I was eyeing up
when we were on the clock or about to be on the clock. You know, I was like, shoot, like, let's just go get Treylon Burks then.
Treylon you mean at 18 you wanted him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Prior to knowing about the trade news, obviously.
Yeah. So we were starting to think, like, I was like, well, then Alave's gone. Who was a guy I was starting to wrap my mind around getting at 18? And I wasn't a big Alave guy. I'm on the record. I've said that multiple times. But once he was gone, I was like, fuck, all the receivers are gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's either Treylon Burks or, like, what do we do? Do we move back for, like, Christian Watson? Or, like, how the hell? What's going to happen? Like, value isn't there anymore at the position if it's not Treylon Burks.
Yeah, it was starting to look bad. I was like, damn, how is he going to address this?
And even Treylon Burks at 18 kind of is a reach. Like, not a big one, but it is like I expected him to go later in the first round. So in my mind, I was like, fuck, man, what are we going to do for receivers? It's Zach Pascal and Devontae. And then they make the freaking trade for A.J. Brown. And now you have him and the route technician that Devontae Smith is. And they are the perfect complements to each other.
Dude, like, it's
You want the perfect compliment to Devonta Smith, and it's literally A.J. Brown. You couldn't build a better prototype.
I have a take on all this, but...
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, man, there's a lot of ways I can go with this, but based off of what you just said, I'm not... For some reason, people are trying to take away from Devonta Smith now that this trade's happened, and it's like... Just stop with that. Like, there's always something. Like, whenever a move is made in Philly sports, somebody feels the need to always tear down somebody currently on the team. Like, for whatever reason, I don't know why that's the mentality. But
yeah, people are like, now we have a true wide receiver one. I'm like, Devontae was a true wide receiver.
Let's just be clear.
One.
These guys are literally both wide receiver.
Literally
ones.
A WR1. Now we have a true.
The name of the NFL, you need two number one options in your offense
you
if you want to compete.
If you don't have a wide receiver duo.
And it's not just wide receiver. Like, you look at the Chiefs, they had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Even though at the tight end, but same situation.
No, but you need two, like, quote-unquote, like, number one, like, guys who can just take
like
over your
offense. Pass-catching options. Yeah.
Weapons, whatever.
So now we have
Dallas
Goedert.
Have that now.
And we have Goddard. So it's literally A.J. Brown, Goddard, Devonta Smith. You have Quez Watkins now, who's going to be terrorizing slot corners, I guess, is what's going to happen. I know you want Rager to be the slot guy, but
his
likelihood of being on this roster is not great after that deal. I know you holding out hope for him, you know, all this and that. And Howie did say, like, you know, on the presser, like, he'll be here and we hope he's here, but he's make no mistake, they tried to shop him at the draft. They tried to move him. They tried and they couldn't. And they've given him permission to seek his own trade, which obviously hasn't culminated to anything. So Howie has no choice but to say he's going to be on the roster. So that is where we're at with that. But very, very happy to have A.J. Brown here. He will take over
gone
number 11.
Are the days gone of are complaining days. About Justin Jefferson and DK Metcalf.
Yes,
never
points.
Again do I have to see
good
those
points.
Stupid memes on my timeline where it's like those two and then you see J-Jaw and Rager just like dropping the ball and stuff. Like, never again. It's over.
He righted the ship. He righted the shit because A.J. Brown was in the 19 draft, right? Same draft as J-Jaw. So
can you
so
believe it?
He righted the ship. We don't have to hear about. I mean, we'll still hear about it, but we don't have to harp on Justin Jefferson anymore. And I know A.J. Brown had like injury concerns last year, so I think durability was part of the concern for why the Titans didn't extend him, even though they did try. But that was probably part of the reason. But as long as A.J. Brown just stays on the path, hopefully he's not, like, you know, injury riddled or anything like that. But he already has a Pro Bowl season, 3,000, I believe it's close to 3,000 yards for his career, 24 touchdowns. He is the ideal guy you want in this offense. And if you want to give Jalen Hurts the best chance to win over the franchise and to take the next step and to be this guy and the face of the organization, they go to go ahead and get his friend AJ Brown is a good way
they're
to
both
do
very
it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that's another key. Like, I don't think that's been the theme of this offseason, by the way.
Friendship
is bringing in yeah, clearly friendship, but wow, you know, why do we do this podcast? But like, yeah, like, so it's that, but it's also like mentality and culture. And we're bringing in a lot of, like, I like to call these guys winners. They all have winners mindset. Like, obviously, people can say what they want about Jalen Hurts. Like, he hasn't accomplished this, hasn't accomplished that. But he has the mindset of a winner at the end of the day. And that's all that matters.
And very unbothered, as you heard from his press conference.
I want to say something
yesterday.
Really quickly, because, and I will repeat this every single time we record. And I know you're thinking the same exact thing. I know you are. Shout out to everybody all off season that flooded my mentions. Anytime I put out a piece of content, tweeted anything, everybody was like, and you know what? I might
it's
just go back
on,
to Twitter and find you
it's
people.
Still
and
going
it's still
on,
going on. How?
Doesn't
How?
Matter.
You guys lost. Hold this L for me. Acknowledge me and accept that I was right and admit that I was right and the other people. I'm not the only one who said this. You guys all, told me all off season that, you know, no good wide receivers, nobody will want to come and play with Jalen Hurts because he can't throw, can't do all these things. AJ Brown is a top 10, whatever, top 15 wide receiver, apparently saying top 10 is too kind.
He's top 10. Who said that?
Saying top 10 is too kind, according to TikTok.
Who?
On TikTok, I put something yesterday. He's like, oh,
I cannot name, man.
He's not top
10. I don't think I can name 10 receivers better than AJ Brown.
Exactly. And he came here out of nowhere, by the way. Like, this stuff needed to happen quickly. They were working out together in the offseason, and the Eagles were on the clock and somehow pulled off the trade and agreed to the extension. He agreed to an extension to come here and play with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So that narrative is dead. Don't ever bring it back again. It's dead.
The
come
new
up with
narrative.
Something else.
No, the new narrative.
Maybe
it's
say,
not even,
maybe
it's
say
not
backup
even.
Tight ends don't want to come here and play. With, like, come up with something else. Come up with something
we'll
else.
We'll get into the
that
backup
narrative
tight
is dead.
Because you called it. You did call it
I
on
did.
The backup tight end.
I did.
But now the new narrative, and it's not even a new narrative, the tired narrative now at this point. Any similar to you and your content, anytime I put out a video, a reel, a tweet, an article, anything that regards AJ Brown, it's now we need a QB. Oh, now who's going to throw him the ball? Now who's going to do this? And I'm just like,
I don't know.
Guys,
maybe the guy who lines up under center every play is going to throw him the ball.
I don't. And I understand, like, you know, like he has facets of his game that he needs to work on. I know he has to work on throwing with anticipation and reading the defense and that whole bit. But what 23-year-old QB doesn't need to work on these things? I don't understand why the impatience with Jalen Hurts is. Why?
I don't either. My annoyance with that is those people who say that act like he, like, can't throw a football at all. And if that was the case, Devontae Smith
had some rough games last year. The
Giants
game was rough. The playoff game was rough.
The Eagles' rookie receiving record.
Mind you,
now,
did
obviously
people watch?
We all feel like we can all agree Devontae probably should have had more yards.
Oh, he should have had 1,200 yards. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he still broke the receiving record and was dominant in his first year as a receiver with Jalen Hurts throwing him the football.
So that my. I just don't get it. And then people are saying, well, AJ Brown is not going to be happy when Jalen Hurts is running QB power six times a game. I'm like, oh, well, he got an extension, so he's going
to
be
happy enough to come here. No, guys, he plays in the NFL. He knows more than you do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot, but at end of the day, Devonta Smith is here, AJ Brown is here, Dallas Goedert is here. You got Miles Sanders, you got Gainwell.
He fits like a glove, by the way.
Fits literally like a glove. So we'll be able to see, hopefully, the next steps of Hurts' development comes, and we don't have to worry about next year's draft picks and CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. I feel like regardless of how Hurts performs, it's going to be a conversation anyway.
Yeah, so. This is going on forever, right? That will go on forever, but I actually think, even though Hurts has a full season under his belt throwing Devontae Smith the football, I think he's going to have better chemistry with A.J. Brown, just because I think A.J. Brown fits with Jalen Hurts' throwing style better.
His throwing style right now is fucking throw it up and hope he catches it. That's his throwing style right now. So that's why it works.
I'm talking in the short game, though. Like, because, like,
yeah,
that's A.J. Brown,
you're a big intermediate route.
Devontae's more of, like, the intermediate guy, because he likes to let his routes develop and break off, which is fine. Like, that's why he's a great wide receiver, a great route runner, as we know. But A.J. Brown's that tough. Obviously, he can go down the field and make plays. We know that. But he's that tough yardage guy, like the slants. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the field and stuff like that. The
and
short
AJ
game.
Brown is a yak machine.
Yeah, and you don't want Devontae doing that, because that'll bang up his body too much.
Yeah,
he's not built for that.
Yeah, so it's definitely an exciting.
Somebody's going to clip that and be like, "Oh, you're saying Devontae's too skinny?" No, I'm just saying that's not his
frame. His frame allows him to be the technician that he is, though.
Yeah, the bigger you want him to do that.
Which is why DK and like AJ Brown, like coming out of school, they said they had a limited route tree and they can only run like three routes because of their size. Devontae doesn't have that issue. You would like him to get a little stronger, obviously, but this is what allows him to be so fluid on the field. So that's it's definitely a fun time. As far as projecting the Eagles offense, I do expect Jalen Hurts to throw 4,000 yards next year.
Wow.
So that's not a lot. It's not a lot.
No, you're right.
With these two guys and Dallas Goedert up the seam, please. If he doesn't get 4,000 yards next year, then we can
incorporate Kenny G in the passing game more too.
Then we can, with a level head, entertain a QB controversy at that point, which we probably do have now with Carson Strong here.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. All right. So going on to round two, the pick that I wasn't too thrilled about. I mean, obviously you warm up to it and you don't really go against if Jason Kelce handpicks him, you can't really argue against it. Center Cam Jurgens, Nebraska. I believe he's out of Jason Kelce's favorite center prospect, apparently of the last 3 to 5 years. Some people had him ranked above Tyler Linderbaum as far as the best center prospect. And he figures to learn behind Kelce for a year, because you never know when Jason Kelce is going to call it quits. He's been threatening it for the last 3 to 4 years now. So the Eagles figured, rather than draft a center when he does retire, let's get one now. Let's have him learn behind Kelce for a year, so that whenever he does retire, it would be a little weird if he didn't retire next year, because now you invested a second round resource into a guy that's sitting for 2 years. But let's have him learn so that he can be ready for next year, is the way the Eagles are thinking. They're thinking ahead of the future. Steven, your thoughts on the Eagles going ahead and passing on corner, passing on some other needs, and shoring up their center, hopefully for the foreseeable future.
Well, what corners were available there that you wanted?
Yeah, well, Booth was gone, but like I still want to see Brisker was gone. Those were kind of some guys I was looking at. Yeah, they were gone. So taking a corner at that spot is probably a reach. That's a good point. So the Eagles probably felt more confident. But in my estimation, I feel like even if Booth was there, the Eagles value that position more than a CB2. A day one CB2 anyway. I feel like even if Booth was there, the Eagles were never going to entertain it. Cam Jurgens was always going to be that pick. So yeah, your takeaways on the pick. I don't think they would have done it personally. But
I don't think they wanted to give up more assets, because they already gave up assets. You know what I mean?
I just don't think
they
would have taken a corner in that sense anyway. I think they were always eyeing up that position at that spot. I think that was always going to be.
And that's why
they almost took Kobe Dean at second. They almost did that, but they liked the position there. So even if value was there for other positions,
they don't draft linebackers.
Yeah, and they almost did it for Dean, but they said Cam was still the pick there regardless. So I think that was always going to be the priority.
Yeah, I like it. And for me, it's more about just knowing the Eagles and trusting them in this situation. And you saw, what was that? Jason Kelce was on some sort of like draft show.
Yeah,
he was
streaming with Lefko. I think it was Bleacher. I think.
Okay.
I forget who Lefko's
affiliated with. His reaction alone to that is like all I needed to see and hear to just
know. Well, he said, "I knew we were taking him." Like, he knew it was coming. Like,
and not just that, Jeff Stoutland. Like, that's the thing. Like, we always talk about like how we get these late round like offensive linemen, we're like, oh, Jeff Stoutland's gonna develop this guy, but like let's take one early, somebody who you kind of have a feeling is gonna pan out in the NFL, and then let Jeff Stoutland work with him. That's why I feel so good about this. And it's like, this is an aging offensive line, as we know. We've talked about this the last several years, and for whatever reason, because I remember this was the conversation last year, we started talking about drafting a center. I feel like we kind of stopped doing that as we got closer to this draft, because we're like, oh, we need corner, need a receiver still, need linebacker.
And don't forget that last year, Landon was supposed to be at the time we took Landon Dickerson, he was the heir to Kelce.
Yeah, how about that?
And then he moved to guard, and now here comes Cam Jurgens. So.
It's awesome. Look, I feel great about the future of this team.
Yeah, as far as the trenches are concerned, you certainly do. So that's the most important part. And as you, like I said, I'm not going to argue against anybody that Jason Kelce endorses. So, you know, they're set up for the future. Yep. Like I said, secondary is still a glaring need to this point at the time.
Oh, and again, he sounds like a winner. I'm going to Sirianni's going to call it dog mentality. I call it winner mentality. So
he sounds like a winner. In what sense?
Just his personality. Like, I was reading something on him. He wants to go out there and just murder people. Like, I love that.
Oh, yeah. He did say that. Like, I want to, just because you're a center doesn't mean you can't go up the field and deck a safety or something like that.
So I love it.
That's good.
Sirianni calls it dog mentality. I'll call it winner mentality.
Yeah. So that's good. So it's just, my thing is that. So here's my question to you. Should a day two pick, should a second round pick be a day one contributor? Should they be on the field day one of the season?
I mean, why? Why is that?
You don't think so? So you don't think a player that you invest a second round resource into shouldn't be an immediate contributor?
Is Jalen Hurts immediate contributor?
Well, no, which is why that pick was dumb at the time. So I'm not endorsing that either.
Is it still dumb?
I mean, in hindsight, no.
You're on record saying this, man. So if we ever get this guy on the pod,
we're not having this. This is a conversation for another time. If that pick is ever going to be was ever smart at the time, unless Howie was just smarter than everybody in the room and foresaw Carson being a jackass or whatever the situation was. So in your mind, a second round pick shouldn't be on the field to start the season.
I'm not saying that. I just like.
All right, that's my mindset. I feel like they should be on the field to start the year. But if you don't feel that way,
you draft somebody for like their potential. In general, this isn't like you're talking second round pick. I mean, okay. All right. You want them to be on the field, but it's like not the end of the world. Because like, are we having this conversation if Cam? See, that's funny you say that. Well, like you as if he's not going to be on the field. But we said the same thing about Landon Dickerson. He moves off guard.
Injuries put him on the field. that wasn't
my
choice.
Don't roll it out. It happens all the time. Do not roll it out. Carson Wentz forgot how to play football when Jalen Hurts came here. What do you know? He's on the field.
Yeah, so they're shoring up. So it's insurance. Yeah.
So you can't say that. You don't know.
So you're fine with drafting insurance policies in the second round.
Do not call him an insurance policy. They drafted him with the mindset that he's going to be the starting center for the next 10 years.
I just feel like second round picks should be on the field to start the year. But I'm not saying I'm unhappy with the pick. I'm just saying that's why I was indifferent about it.
Indifferent. You drafted him knowing he
was hurt? Well, that was a stash pick. That was a stash pick, similar to N'Kobe Dean, which we'll talk about in a second. But that was a stash pick.
Jay Jones was drafting the guy can never be as impact player from this.
That was just a miss in general. He's an anomaly. But Sidney Jones was drafted because he had first round talent and he was a stash pick that hopefully he could tap into that talent again. So that was why that whole thing.
There's no chance happened. Cam Jurgens can play right guard this year.
He's going to play guard. That's why they released Herbig, because they feel like he can play guard.
Oh, so he is a day one contributor.
Well, we don't know yet, but I'm saying that. Okay. All right.
He's going to be, man. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
All right. We'll do
this all the time, and people get, I don't want to speak anything into existence, anything bad. Obviously, we don't do that over here.
We don't do that. That brings us to round three, the potential steal of the draft, as many have said. Linebacker N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia, all the way at pick 83. Apparently, he has pectoral tears. What I think happened was that his pectoral strain was misconstrued, and then people played whisper down the lane, and then all of a sudden, now it's torn. Now he's redshirting. Now he's not playing his rookie season. Teams ran away. Eagles said, fuck it, we'll take you in a third round, and apparently he's healthy now. I still think there's some, like, something going on, like something still doesn't kind of add up. Like,
do you take a player in the third round that's not going to be a day one contributor?
He'll be a day. Third round stash picks.
There's so many conflicting things. There's some people saying he won't be ready till 2024, and then some people saying he's going to be in camp next week.
Yeah,
what is going on?
He's definitely going to be in camp. He said that. He said, I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. No doctors told me I need surgery, and now rumors are coming out saying that I'm not going to play my first year. It's cost me a lot of money. My mom is upset. All the shit's going on, and I don't know what the fuck happened. But I'm happy that the Eagles picked me. And here we are. And mind you, this is linebacker one in the class, the top linebacker in the class.
Better than Devin Lloyd.
His athleticism is off the charts. His awareness is off the charts.
Mentality?
His sideline to sideline speed is off the charts. This man is tracking down ball carriers throughout the length of the field, which I haven't seen the Eagles do. I will say Michael Kendricks was quick. I think he could cover some ground, but I haven't seen this kind of pursuit from a linebacker in some time. How thrilled were you with this pick, Steven, that we landed? Not only a linebacker, a good one, the top linebacker, all the way in the third round. Apparently, when Howie said, remember when he said this is a good linebacker class? I thought he would take one in the fucking sixth round, but he took one in the third. Took one in the third, and a damn good one at that.
Unbelievable, man. Like, just what a night it was in general. But I love this pick. And again, me and Vic had this conversation off air the other day. Like, he just broke down, you know, N'Kobe Dean as the player, like, to a T. And once again, that Georgia Bulldogs defense, man, we drafted all these players from it. Love it. But I was telling Vic this off air the other day when we were on the phone, and it was more in defense of Jalen Hurts, but in general, right, here in the city of Philadelphia, because this is a Philadelphia podcast, like, obviously, you want talented players to come here and play in Philly, but like when you ask people who their favorite players are, it's always high character guys, big personalities, like the ideal, you know, mindset that you would want in your athlete, you know. And Jalen Hurts, for example, has all that. N'Kobe Dean, which, well, this is what I'm trying to get at here. N'Kobe Dean, like, has that. Like, and I wouldn't be surprised, because we've been so depleted of linebackers here in Philly. Like, I would not be surprised if this dude gets healthy, he pans out, he's the alpha dog of the defense. I wouldn't be surprised if you see people in that stadium, a lot of N'Kobe Dean jerseys. You know what I mean? And that's what we want here in Philly. And, like, I'm just so grateful for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dean, like, we have a statue of Nick Foles. We have a statue of Nick Foles, man. Obviously, like, he played out of his mind and won this team its first Super Bowl in franchise history. But we love the person, Nick Foles. That's why we love him. That's why we love our athletes. Brian Dawkins. Who am I missing? Like, I can go down the list. I'm missing
Chris
some
Long.
Names.
People love for his character.
Yeah, Chris Long, and he was a rotational edge rusher. Obviously, like, AI, like, he's the GOAT. Obviously, here in Philly. Obviously, he was loved for his talent, but it's his mentality. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm talking about.
He's definitely going to, and he's coming in here motivated now. The fact that he fell, he's coming in the league to prove
this stuff
something.
Matters, man. And you know what's crazy? Literally, just I want to say maybe 3 years ago, we started like really questioning the desire and the locker room of this team, because there were some guys in here that didn't seem to get along.
Fallout.
Yeah, there was a few guys on this team when we were starting to grow sour, obviously on Carson, but there was a few other guys we started growing sour on. I'm not here to like single anybody out, but it was just due to the situation. And now it feels like 3 years later, whatever it is, it's like, dude, we got some dogs. This
Sirianni,
room,
as corny as he is, Sirianni's a big.
He wasn't lying when he said that. You guys can make fun of him all you want, but damn, you love this team now, don't you? You like this team. I love this
N'Kobe
team.
N'Kobe Dean certainly was, I think, arguably the top player on that Georgia defense. Had 31 pressures in 2021, only allowed a 30.7 QB rating when targeted and coverage. He can literally do it all. One of the knocks on him is that he was a bit undersized. 6'0", I think he's 5'11", 6'.
Like, I've heard that, but, like, before I, like, was really reading into his weaknesses, I kind of just, like, looked. I was reading up on his profile, and I was watching him on film, and I'm like, he kind of seems short.
Yeah, so he's tiny. You know? He is that. He kind of plays like a defensive back, kind of, but, like, he's so physical and skill set is so elite is that it doesn't matter. And here's my hot take.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm asking, he's going to be, like, an outside backer, right?
Oh, he's off-ball, off-ball linebacker. Mm. Yeah, so he's going to be the quarterback of the defense.
Is better for that situation, or would it be better?
Yeah, it's good. But that's why the pectoral thing was such a big deal, because like you kind of like it's kind of a big deal when you go to wrap up tacklers. Like you kind of like you know if that pec is strained or torn, and you go to tackle somebody, it's not.
Maybe
it's not
that's
good.
Why they drafted Jordan Davis, so that the runners will never get to him in the first place.
So that's good. How cool is it that he gets to play behind the guy that he's been playing behind?
That's the theme of this team, man.
Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean. You got Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown. Yeah, friendship. Apparently, that's the theme of the year. Now, but here's my hot take. Here is my hot take on N'Kobe Dean. You ready? If Dean can get the medicals worked out, he'll be the most impactful linebacker in this city since Jeremiah Trotter.
Holy shit.
That's my hot take.
I thought he was going hot with my shit earlier.
I think he has the traits to be the most impactful linebacker since Trotter in Philadelphia.
Damn. So who are we skipping over? We're skipping over
like D'Amico Ryans, Jordan Hicks.
What the hell's his name?
It's about as far as
Nigel Bradham.
Nigel Bradham. Hey, he wasn't bad.
He was awesome.
This is great though,
Bowl.
Man. Because it's freaking it's man's N'Kobe Dean. It's Kaiser White, Hassan Reddick. Like this defense
is going to be something
this year. We got some real linebackers. I know Hassan Reddick is going to be a primary edge rusher, and even Davion Taylor, who has some speed to him. Now we don't have to rely on this dude, TJ Edwards.
Yeah, right.
The team is still high on.
All right, so like, what? Like, does he have a shot, Davion Taylor? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he just, you know,
he was always drafted as a project, though.
Yeah, he was drafted to be that, but he was drafted in the third also, right? If I remember right,
I think he was.
Dude, he was drafted in the third. Now compare that to N'Kobe Dean being drafted in the third.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So this is the thing. Like, we sit here and record these and break down, and like everybody, like. I feel like people are going to think we're always going to naturally be a little biased for the Eagles, but like there's legit a lot of people, a lot of analysts saying that he could be the steal of the draft.
The steal.
We never get that guy. When do we ever get that guy?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't happen to the Eagles. The fact that because when injuries happen and players fall, it's never the Eagles. It was JOK last year to the Browns, I believe, and it was DK to Seattle. Things never pan out for the Eagles. So either Howie leaked the medical reports himself, or we just got some, because they did say we were going to take him in the second, but we prioritized center at the time, and we almost ran to the damn podium when he was there at 83. So it's just
I don't want to phenomenal jinx value anything, because like I said, I had Justin over the house for the draft. Jay Brad for the loyal mentioned earlier. I've always been on the other side of the spectrum of Howie Roseman. I've always been against him, and Jay Brad is literally, if you want to call a fanboy, there you go. And right as Jay the trade happens, I'm trying to celebrate. Yeah. He gets up in my face. He's like, Howie season, I told you. You owe him an apology. Howie. I do owe him an apology. And like Howie's been, like, let's just put it, like, let's just call it how it is. Howie's been in his fucking duffel bag this offseason.
He's been in his bag,
right?
Bro. He is on a heater.
He's in a different
bag. He's on a heater.
A different bag, all right?
I never even talked shit about Howie. Like, back when I joked about him, I was kidding. I never said a bad word about him.
No, don't do this, man, because it's going to fall apart. Stay on that. What do the kids say? Stay on that side.
That's what you say. You say that shit.
I'm just scared if I fully come over to the Howie Roseman side, he's going to do this again, man. He's going to.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's really making us a believer. You heard him on WIP. He was like, I forget what he said, but he was like, I got you. Like, believe him. And apparently, Jonathan Gannon was texting Nick Sirianni repeatedly that N'Kobe Dean was still on the board, and Sirianni replied, let Howie work. And he worked. Man, there's something brewing in that war room in NovaCare.
Those two seem to be on such a good page together. This is the thing. I'm not a words guy. Like, somebody can say something to my face and I probably won't believe it. Yeah, actions speak louder than words. When I was watching that press conference after the draft, you could just mute the audio. If you just look at Sirianni and Howie, the way they're looking at each other, joking, smiling, like, you can just tell that, like, the vibe is immaculate. The vibes are immaculate right now.
The way they're looking at each other, what's going on here? Howie, and correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Howie seem like a little like less uptight this year? Like, he seems like he's like listening to his staff. He's like more like relaxed. Like, it just seems there's a different vibe about Howie this year.
That's what I'm saying. That it's
even
culture,
though they just
man.
Fired one of their fucking. Whoever the fuck, what is it, one of their scouts or whatever, they just fired. We finally get a good draft class. Now they're firing people.
Yeah, well, is that how he's saying, like, look at me now, this? I don't need you guys? Is that what this is?
He said, hey, you're getting a little big for your britches over there. Yeah. Speaking of people having control, Jalen Hurts is getting a lot of leeway with this team. First it was like, hey guys,
that's another
we
one,
need
man.
To, we need I think we should wear black pants. I think
take
we should,
the floor
I think
on this
wear,
one.
But
for
I think
the next
we should wear
minutes.
Black pants. And the Eagles like, all right, black pants. All right, we'll make it happen. Next, I think we need to draft Schmitty out of Alabama. I think we need to get Schmitty. All right, we'll move up. We'll trade up. We'll get him. Dickerson now, what is it this too, year? Hey, guys. I think that man AJ Brown's not happy over there. I think we should. I think we should go get him. That's my friend. No, listen, he is my friend. Think we need to go get him, and they made it happen. So Jalen Hurts is suggesting a lot of shit that the Eagles are listening to. So you know, all offseason long they've been doubling and tripling down how Jalen Hurts is the guy and this and that, and at the time, for the time being, they're not bluffing. For now, they're not bluffing. Doesn't appear to be anyway. So good on Jalen. Now it's up to him to take that next step and prove everybody that he can be the face of that franchise and QB this team and be the lead man. And he already took them to the playoffs in their first year. I know they were playing against Garrett Gilbert and Jake Fromm and shit like that, but it's time for year two. It's time for year two. Let's make it happen. They also drafted Kyron Johnson out of Duke, I believe, another edge rusher who should provide some depth. I know we always joke about Daniel Jones and who the hell drafts football players out of Duke, but Kyron Johnson was giving like Evan Neal the business.
Yeah,
in a couple
I did
drills.
See that.
Damn, he's putting this man on his ass. So I'll take that. Some depth behind Hassan Reddick. Because look, what is it now? Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham coming off the Achilles, is Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat.
So Hassan Reddick's going to be strictly an edge rusher.
He'll be
saying?
Used primarily as an edge rusher, yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be Reddick, Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham. Who else is in that mix?
You want to
And then Kyron Johnson, I guess. Like, you got Kyron in there. Patrick Johnson. Patrick Johnson is there.
How do you say his name?
Oh, Marlon. He's a tackle, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Or is he an edge? And then you got Milton. Milton interchanges, but Milton will probably be in the defensive tackle rotation with Cox, Hargrave, Milton. And
another
and,
guy.
Jordan
he's kind
Davis.
Of being underlooked now, man. I believe in
Milton
him.
Williams is good, yeah. Oh, he showed a lot of flashes last year. These trenches are going to be very good. And then the last pick, the Eagles only made 5 picks this year, but they made them count. And we got this last one, another one of Jalen Hurts' friends. This one's not from Alabama.
This one's from
OU, Oklahoma, before the Bama days. We got Grant Calcaterra, tight end. He had concussion issues. But remember when we made fun of Steve? Well, not nah, I won't say we. I made fun of Steve
so much, man.
Because this man said, we got all these needs. We got safety. We got cornerback. We got backup tight end.
I probably didn't sound good because it was the third thing I said.
Yeah, you should have, prioritized it a little better. But backup tight end was a need behind Goddard because, you know what made me mad? Because I always go back and listen to older podcasts to critique myself and critique us and try to make the product better. And I remember listening to this episode not too long ago. And I'm mad at myself because you had said that Tyree Jackson was hurt. And I was firmly like, no, I don't remember him getting hurt. I remember playing the Dallas game, but he did tear his ACL in that game. So credit to you for remembering that, because I completely forgot he tore his ACL in that game. So that was like something I was mad about.
Which
so
is good unfortunate because he was like, this dates back to like, that would have been training camp of last year. He was he was the highlight reel of training camp.
He looked like people were saying, like, he looks like the best player on the team. Like, if you showed up to training camp last year and you knew nothing about the players and their positional value or whatever, Tyree Jackson looked like best player. Tyree Jackson looked like the best player on the team in training camp if you were just to go in there blinded and you didn't know anything about the Eagles. But, yeah, between him, who's the other?
I'm not writing him off, but, like.
Who's the other guy? Jack Stahl. But, yeah.
Grant we're talking Calcaterra about the tight end room?
Yeah, we still are.
Hey, J-Jaw, baby.
Oh, yeah, forgot. Shit, the fucking transition.
Look,
wide
tight end
two,
that's going
to
be the competition to Cam. Holy shit, dude.
Oh, we got a hell of a fucking
if
tight end
back,
two
I'm not writing Tyree off, by the way. I still think he probably has the most potential out of all those guys. What do we say, right?
Yeah. But good on you for saying that backup tight end, because Grant Calcaterra is a very good athletic guy and another friend of
his. He's a receiving tight end.
Receiving tight end. And
man, with this passing offense, better be good next year.
Yeah, it better be lethal. So good on you for that. Also, one more correction. I also got mad at myself on the last podcast. We were talking about the return man that the Eagles were looking into. And I said Andre Carter multiple times. And you never corrected me. But Andre Roberts was the guy. But he just signed with another team anyway. So it doesn't matter. But I remember
that
listening to it in the
so
car.
Like, that was like
I
must have
wrote
news,
the notes
though.
Down. Yeah, I must have wrote the notes down like weird. Because I got him and DeAndre Carter mixed up. So I must have like wrote it down.
Reger's done, man.
Yeah, well, you got Devin Allen here. We got Penn Relay's fucking record holder.
Well, okay, Devin Allen, come on, man. He's not. He's not above Reger.
And who? Hey, we'll let training camp sort that out. But
come on, man.
Who's the undrafted free agent? Fucking kick returner. I saw clips of. I haven't looked into.
I thought that's
yet,
who you were just talking about.
No, that's Devin Allen. But there's another guy.
No.
There's
you just said
guy.
Him, Andre.
No, that's Andre Roberts. No, he's a free agent, but he signed with another team. The Eagles picked up an undrafted free agent.
That's who I thought you were talking about. Okay.
The Eagles picked up you're talking about. But the Eagles picked
whoever
up another.
You don't know who his name, that's who I thought you were talking about.
No, not him. He signed with someone else. I have to look it up, but I forget who the UDFA guy was. But he's another guy that can like return. So we're gonna hopefully the return game is a little better. DeAndre Tompkins,
he's out,
Penn State. Is his name, I guess.
Oh, wow. Penn State.
So we'll figure that out. And then, of course...
Lucci would know better than us, right?
Yeah, we'll have to ask Lucci over at Liberty Line to see what's going on with him. As far as undrafted free agents, the Eagles picked up Josh Jobe, Alabama cornerback, who was projected a fourth-round talent.
Oh, I needed
hurt
to
his
hear,
foot.
Man. Hurt Alabama hurt corner his, just sounds hurt, good to me.
Yeah, facts. Hurt his foot in December, was kept out of the college football playoff, had some consistency issues, but very good talent. You got... Who's the other guy? The Clemson guy. The hell's his name?
Once again, love the
fuck,
school.
Fuck.
All
fuck,
right,
fuck.
Howie.
Jeez. I forgot his damn name. Goodrich. Mario Goodrich.
Yeah.
There you go. Him. So he's another guy to keep an eye on. And
what's
of course,
do you know the size? I almost said dimensions. Jesus, what's wrong with me? Do you know the size of these guys? What are we looking at?
I'll have to look it up. I wrote the article like last week, and once you
there's
scout
too much
so many
to
cut.
We'll have to get this stuff in the next podcast. There's too much going on.
Yeah, and then of course the QB factory lives on with Carson Strong. He is here. He is here with that cannon, and I cannot wait for day one
how
of fucking training
drafted,
camp,
man.
When because number one, he's like immature as hell, reportedly.
Oh
like,
God,
reports. Like,
there
he's
we go.
Immature
there's
as hell.
The one guy that can ruin the
like,
locker room. Good
he
job.
He has
Howie.
Like he has like depression, like. Things going
oh,
on
not really.
Apparently, and the injury fucked him up too.
They're holding that against him.
Well, I mean, it's just
If there's any body that can deal with that, though, we've got some guys on the team. Lane, yeah, maybe it can be a voice or whatever.
Apparently, he has he's a mental just a mental project, I guess, to figure out. But hey, man, day one of training camp comes around and he's bombing that bitch to AJ Brown for 80 yards.
Yeah,
and Jalen Hurts only throws it 55 yards. We're gonna hear about it.
We will.
Last
topic. Jalen's never thrown a good ball.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Last topic I do want to cover before we get out of here. Since we failed to address safety in the draft, there are a couple of free agent options that are still out there. You got Jaquiski Tartt, if that's how you fucking say his name. TikTok was telling me it's pronounced another way, but fuck if I... The guy who dropped the fucking interception in the NFC Championship game for the 49ers. That guy. He's a free agent. Deshaun Gibson. Deshaun...
That's why he plays safety, right? That's why he's on this side.
He was pretty good, though. He's only given up 9 touchdowns in 7 years. He's a good get. Deshaun Gibson is out there. I just wrote the fucking shit. How did I forget already? Chuck Clark from Baltimore. They gave the bag to Marcus Williams. Kyle Hamilton, they just picked up in the draft.
Oh, that one sucks. I really wish we signed him.
And
that
Chuck
was
Clark.
My guy heading into free agency.
Who? Oh, Marcus Williams. Yeah. And so Chuck Clark hasn't missed a single snap for the Ravens over the last 2 years. Is a signal caller for that defense, obviously, and he is very team friendly. He's under contract for the next 2 years. Philadelphia native, born in Philly.
There you go.
Hey man, hey, listen.
You saw me already.
Hey, listen. They moved Hollywood Brown during the draft. You know, will be a good trade piece.
Yeah. No, you're right. Wonder what our relationship time with Baltimore
send,
is. Have we done business?
Time to send Rager on over to Baltimore. Jalen Rager.
Yeah.
Chuck Clark. Jalen Rager in a third rounder. Chuck Clark.
Yo.
Come on down.
Who's Lamar going to throw to? Did they believe in that Bateman dude?
Mark Andrews. Rashad Bateman.
Rager would be perfect over there.
Yeah. So
yo, I'm not going to lie, man. Rager would kind of look comp in a Ravens jersey.
Yeah, the purple. Yeah, it would be a good idea.
Yeah, the TCU. For what it's worth, those TCU jerseys were hard.
Yeah, and Landon Collins is the other guy. He's a post-June 1st cut because once they acquired Carson Wentz, they didn't have money anymore. They asked Landon Collins to take yet another pay cut because he already took one. He said no, so he'll be a post-June 1st cut. He was more of a linebacker-safety hybrid last year because Washington got decimated with injuries, and he did kind of struggle in coverage, but he's a playmaker. So, you know, who knows? Steven, any of these guys or any other free agents I didn't mention you were kind of have your eye on as far as the secondary is?
I don't really know this free agent market too well, but I mean, you kind of sold me.
I don't know it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, look.
So just bank on Chuck Clark trade. That's where you
I guess.
Right.
I mean, so what are we looking at on the roster currently? We have Anthony Harris. That's
so it's
a confirmed
Anthony,
starter,
so,
right?
So Anthony, well, I mean, his contract doesn't make him a
well, I'm talking
starter,
this year, man.
So Anthony Harris, Marcus Epps, Kayvon Wallace, Jared Maiden and
I don't
Andre
sleep on Marcus Epps.
And that's what the
no,
world's telling me.
He
made good plays last year. I just don't know if
Look,
I want to see him
as
a starter.
Team, man.
Do you want to see him as a starter? I don't know if I want
no,
to.
No, you would probably
but listen,
not want to.
But listen, to your point, the secondary is a secondary for the reason, or the secondary is called the secondary for a reason. Because the front
yeah,
seven
exactly.
is all that matters.
The Eagles
the front
had
seven.
For
hey,
what
you
it's
get pressure,
worth. The Eagles had one of the worst, bottom five, bottom three
they
pass
were
rushers in the NFL.
Third to last in sacks last year. They only had 29 sacks last year.
And our
third
secondary held up. In fact, that was the strength of the defense.
Well, we had Steven Nelson, who was pretty solid.
Oh, come on, man.
Darius Slay was one of the best corners
in the NFL.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
People forget we have Avante Maddox.
No,
obviously,
we don't forget.
We need
it's
outside
just that he's
help,
people don't forget. He's just a nickel corner, so you know, nobody's going to talk
about
him.
People never bring his name up.
Because
he's out there
corner.
All the time. He's on the field all the time.
His position is solidified. There's nothing to talk about. There's no competition
no, but
there.
Like,
it's him. It's him.
I'm not saying that, but people like when we talk like strengths of the defense, like people like just don't like.
You want people to talk about, yo, our nickel corner is fucking locked. Like nobody's going to say that.
And I'm so glad we have some side. Like as far as, so like we're looking at the guys that are on the depth chart, right? You got Tay Goin is like six. What is he? 6'2".
Zach McPherson, dude. It's McPherson time.
No, I'm glad
time.
We finally
McPherson.
Have some length. No,
it's McPherson
no.
time. McPherson time. Tay Goin, Zach McPherson, Josh Jobe. There's your cornerback two competition. And Mario Goodrich.
Hey,
there's
yo,
your cornerback two competition.
Let's find out who the real OGs are dating back to a year ago. Me and Vic had this ongoing competition of who would be more of a contributor in year one. I said Kenneth Gainwell would be, and his guy was Zach McPherson. We all know who won that battle. But shout out to the people
who know
what we're talking
about. We know who won that battle in the rookie year, but who's going to win it long term?
No, I think... I don't know. Is
Zach got a chance?
I don't know if you want Zach on the outside, though.
I have heard, though, as far as the cornerback two is concerned, and take this however you want it, but I have heard whispers of Trey Waynes and the Eagles. And Trey Waynes has played 5 games in the last 2 years.
That's a Band-Aid.
And he was literally, getting lit up. He was getting lit up like before the injuries occurred anyway.
That's what we're talking about, by the way.
This man was getting pieced in the secondary. But hey,
these guys you're mentioning are just Band-Aids, though, right? So we're clear.
I mean, he's obviously not a long-term option, but he knows Gannon from his Minnesota days, so the Eagles could probably look into it. Him, Xavier Rhodes, Joe Hayden, there's some corners out there.
Damn. I used to love that guy.
All these old fucks are sitting around waiting to sign with teams.
Hey, man, first-round picks next year.
It's going to be cornerback two by committee. That's what we're doing next year. We're just going to every series is going to be a new guy out there.
You feel a lot better about that with the new and improved linebacking core and the defensive line.
Kaiser White, Nakobe Dean.
Seriously, man.
TJ Edwards, Davian Taylor, Hassan Reddick, Milton Williams.
At least we have
Davis.
A CB1. Like we're low-key a little spoiled, guys, because there was a point in time when our best corner was Jalen fucking Mills. And he was hurt.
Hey, he surpassed expectations for a 7th-round fucking pick. All right.
Let's hope one of those UDFA guys can maybe they pan out. Who knows? It happens.
All right. And real quick before we get out of here, expectations for Derek Barnett now. Do you think he has a resurgence like Brandon Graham did? Because in the beginning of his career, he was getting some flack and then he broke out. You think similar trajectory?
Maybe. I wouldn't roll it out. But like, I think us Philly fans get really biased. Like, once we don't like somebody, it's like set in stone.
Stop fucking shoving people after the play and we wouldn't bitch about it.
I don't like him. He's hurt us far more than he's benefited us. But you feel really good about him being a rotational guy because there's a thing. It does something to your psyche when you're a rotational guy, because when you have limited snaps and you're out there, it's like, I have to execute or else like I'm done. Like, where do you go from there if you don't execute as the backup? You're the third string. You don't want that.
Yeah, well, he tried free agency and then came back, and then they were like, well, all right. Well, I guess the market wasn't what you thought it was. So that is that. That about wraps up this episode. Our apologies again for being kind of later on it. Some people have to graduate school this week, so blame them.
Have to graduate.
You can follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod. Do the same. Instagram, TikTok. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey. If you like what we're doing, let us know on Twitter or anywhere else. I get a lot of good encouraging comments over there. Get some hate too. But hey, for every bad comment, there's 10 good ones. That's what you got to tell yourself. For those of you that needed a motivational quote of the day.
Haters and their opinions don't deposit at the bank.
Steven, let the people know where they can find you, what you got coming up after graduation, because now it's cooking season now. It's on popping. Yeah. I don't want to wake up and have to listen to you talk about fucking schoolwork or whatever essay you got to write. It's fucking over. It's grind time. Where can the people find you, buddy?
Steven Conrad Jr. on all socials. More importantly, for those that are still listening, this is a longer episode.
We had a lot to do today.
our goal here on the Philly Pod team, we've been talking about this. We want to try to make this an IRL podcast. So, not to get too personal, but like me and him, location wise, it's very, very hard to do that. That's why all this has been done in a remote environment, right? That's what most people do. So look, might experiment with the next week, an IRL podcast. So definitely stay tuned for that. Meaning this will be on, I guess YouTube, right? If we're doing, well, it's going to be all over the place.
We'll promote clips of it, but we're going to give it a go. It's been the dream to this point, and now that school's out the way, it's about that time.
It's about that time.
Appreciate you guys for keeping up with the show. Like I mentioned, subscribe on all platforms. Thank you guys. The support does not go unnoticed. Thank you to everyone who's kept up with all my draft content throughout Twitter, Instagram. I know it's a ton of info and it can get overwhelming. But for everyone that did keep up and follow, it is much, much appreciated. Next episode coming up shortly. Thank you guys again. Keep it locked here on the Philly Pod. Peace out. Till the next one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.